Good morning, everyone. As you can see, Pastor Kent is taking a vacation this week, so they ran in the old guy. For those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Bill Gobby. I'm a retired pastor who attends here and once in a while gets to come up here, and I treat that as a great privilege. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this morning, you know how weak we are, and you certainly know how weak I am. And I pray this morning that in some positive way, your spirit will just take over. Let people forget the stumbling, stammering words of man. Hide me behind the cross, and may Jesus be heard. As we start this new year, we need you, Lord. We need your grace. We need your power. And we need to learn more to live in your love. So as we break the word of life today, may you minister to each heart just as they have need. For everyone who is here today has a need. And you can meet it. And may their hearts be open to you to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a new year, so let's just say to everybody, Happy New Year. Ready?
Happy New Year.
Oh, you did a great job. But you know what? As Christians, we can do more than that. We can go deeper. When you say Happy New Year, you hope something positive and good is going to happen. But as we go deeper with the Lord, we can find more. So let's say to each other, a blessed new year. Ready?
A blessed new year.
Oh my, you're great this morning. I wish I was awake as you are. Now that suggests that we get happy in this new year by inviting God in a new way into our lives. Now how do we do that? Well, usually the first thing we do is to plan and then to work frantically, and then wear ourselves out and collapse. We just don't understand the warning that we read in Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Well, that brings up a question, actually a couple questions. What is God's part, and what is our part in living this Christian life? Now, would you note there are two truths in this psalm that I want you to catch? First of all, it is definitely a psalm that is directed against self-reliance. But, number two, would you please note the psalmist never said that the builders should not build. He just warned them that it was futile to do it in self-reliance. We do have a part to play. It's important. We must look to God for direction and power in living our lives. Now let's look at some scriptural examples. Now take Jesus. He's a pretty good example, isn't he? Jesus prayed hours. He got up early and fervently. He prayed that God would help him to have the strength and the ability to meet the needs of people. That was wonderful. But then he spent hours going out and ministering to people's needs and literally exhausting himself as he healed the sick and helped the blind to see again. Look at the early church in Acts. It prayed very much for guidance about caring for the widows, because that was a big problem in those days. You think early church didn't have any problems. We haven't read your Bibles. They had lots of trouble. and they prayed fervently about it. And then they appointed deacons to go and do something about it. Now, the early church also prayed about cultural controversies. They had them back then, we have them now. And their controversies were between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they prayed very much about it. And then they convened a council to hammer out a compromise and send a letter back to the Gentiles about how things should be handled. And you know what, friends? I love that scripture, the way they started out their letter. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Oh, I just hope that as our church moves forward, as you as individual Christians move forward in your own spiritual lives, that we will listen for the Holy Spirit. And we will listen to find what is good to Him. And then we can go on. Well, this pictures a partnership between God's work and our work. Now, we see this in Paul's command to the Philippians. You know that verse. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, the only problem with that is people misread it. And they substitute for out. And so they think it reads, continue to work for your salvation. But it's not saying that. It's not saying that at all. They forget the rest of the verse. And that is, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. God working in you for His purpose and to bring His will to pass. Yes, we have work to do. And that work is that we should be working out what God is working into our lives. Then we can partner with God. For God grows us by involving us in His work. Now, we've seen that around our church a lot. I've heard some stories from those who go down to Agua Prieta and build the shelters there in Mexico. They've questioned what to do, and God has answered. They're not sure if things are going to work and be supplied, and God supplies them. And they grow in their own individual lives because they see God at work. I sure hope this morning that you don't think you're saved, sanctified, and petrified. Because you kind of look like it this morning. Thank you. But it's January 1st. I'm not worried about that. I told the Lord a long time ago, if He has anything to say, He'd better say it, because I wasn't going to do it. You know, friends, we need to be growing in our Christian lives. We need to be learning how to partner with God. Now, we see this partnership at work in the example of Paul and Apollos. The Corinthian church gave Paul a whole lot of headaches. I wouldn't be surprised that he wasn't bald by the time he dealt with this church, especially if you read 2 Corinthians. So they had decided Paul was a pretty good teacher, but Apollos, wow, did he really have oratorical skills, and he could really make it work. So they divided into camps. Well, I like Paul. Well, I like Apollos. So that's why Paul wrote these verses that you read this morning. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that God makes our lives grow. So the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And I like this phrase, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. I don't know if you noticed when we read the full scripture this morning, twice Paul talks about rewards. He doesn't talk about being saved. He said, you're going to be saved. It might be by the skin of your teeth, so to speak. But you're going to be saved, but you're not going to have any rewards. So each will be rewarded according to his own labors. And here's the kicker. For we are God's fellow workers. Oh, God wants to work through his people. God wants to work in our lives. He wants our lives to grow, our spiritual lives to blossom. Then he wants our lives to touch others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, another example of this partnership was when Jesus announced, I will build my church. Then what did he do? Well, he enlisted the disciples to help him. He told them, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He welcomed them as partners in his kingdom work. You know, it's the same thing today. I like how Phil Yancey puts it in his book on prayer. God does very little on earth without the likes of you and me. Now, it's true, I know. God's work and our work is different. We have different roles to play. And Yancey points that out as he goes on and says, God, as God made clear to Job, you remember the book of Job? You remember all his whining and complaining? And at the end, God sort of hits him up the side of the head, but he blesses him too. Because he told Job, you humans lack the capacity to figure out providence and cosmic justice and answers to why. How many days I have spent, and probably a lot of you, in asking the Lord, why? Why did you let this happen? Why this timing? Well, we aren't ready to know yet. Our role, rather, is to follow Jesus by doing the work of the kingdom. And Yancey says this, both by our deeds and our prayers. I understand prayer as partnership, a subtle interplay of human and divine that accomplishes the work of God on earth. That's what's important. That God works with each of us and we allow him to build his kingdom through us. So, how can we better partner with God to build our lives in 2023. Well, I want to share something with you that has been a big help to me, and I hope it will be to you too. It's a quote from Dallas Willard, and I've broken it up into four segments. First one is, abide in Christ as a branch abides in the vine. Now, what does a branch do? Well, it stays attached, doesn't it? I'm not saying that we lose our salvation, but I am saying we get into a lot of trouble when we tell the Lord, you know, it's okay, God, I got this handle. And I can go ahead and handle it. And we do. And we usually mess it all up, too, when we do it. Now, I know you Lutherans probably don't do that, but some of the rest of us do. And, of course, what we need to do is humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Then we need to do what a branch always does. It draws life from the main vine. How can we live the Christian life? It's in the strength and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the life, gives us the strength, gives us the direction that we need. You know, I learned this anew this week. Over Christmas, I overloaded our garbage disposal. And it broke a seal on the pipe. But I didn't know it had done that, and so I thought, I'll leave the thing going and leave the water going and it'll flush through, and I went out. Yeah. Came back to a flooded kitchen. Well, I thought, I can handle this. It's all right. I got a lot to get done. I didn't stop to talk to God like I might a friend. I did talk to other friends, but I didn't talk to God as a friend. Whoops. No, I did think at the time, maybe God has a lesson for me to learn here. But I'm busy now, and I'll think about that later. So Monday, I called the plumber. He came, fixed the pipe, and said, you need whatever that fancy word is, help me out. Thank you. Tongue got stuck on the top of my mouth. Okay. So a man came out from the company, and it was his last day at work, and I'm not sure he was fully up to the task. So Tuesday, a lot of misunderstandings started to arise due to the lack of information I'd received before and due to the fact of the holidays. Never have a crisis in the holidays. I went to the hospital once on December 26th, and they fed me and kept me for a week, and then they started to treat me. Same with this. Guy couldn't get all the people he wanted. So all this went on and built up until finally by Wednesday evening, I was an emotional wreck. My wife was sobbing, and I hadn't had any sleep, and I thought, I'm not sure I can go on with this crazy stuff anymore. Well, Thursday things began to right themselves. And Friday I woke up and said, I got to preach Sunday. And I'm exhausted, physically and emotionally. So I sent out an SOS to a number of you, asking for prayer. And I just want to stop and say thank you, because God answered prayer. And that was wonderful. And if this sermon is doing anything, you can thank those who prayed. Then I realized God was speaking to me all along. Trouble is, I wasn't listening. I was too busy. You know, if you have a relationship with someone, you talk to them. We wait till we get to church in some pious, formal way. Pray. You know, my best prayers are when everything is falling apart, and my most eloquent prayer is, help! And that's the one that God usually answers. God was speaking. I wasn't listening. Well, there's another statement, the third statement from Willard, and that is, having a growing relationship with Christ is more important than not sinning. Okay, I know you think the guy's a heretic. But notice he isn't saying that we should sin. He is saying that we should put effort into building our relationship with Christ. I hope we can stop thinking of our Christian life as something where we come here Sunday morning and charge up the battery and hope it doesn't run out till we can get back next Sunday morning. We need a relationship with the Lord all week long that's going to really help us to keep going. Now, if you start saying, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin. Yeah. Thank you. We sin. It's just the nature of the beast. Frustrating. Now, back in the 14th century, a little monk in a monastery in France was noted for his relationship with Christ. He wasn't a great preacher, in fact. He washed the pots and pans in the kitchen. But he was known for his ability to live with Christ. And his letters and some of his conversations with people were collected into a book that's still read today, Practicing the Presence of God. And I love in that book, he has this wonderful prayer. It just shows what a prayer life should be like. It's not fancy. It doesn't put any front. In fact, it's very, very honest. And he's just conversing with God about this. He faced a great problem, and he said, Oh, Lord, help me with this problem, because you know what I'm going to do if you don't. Isn't it wonderful if we could be like that? More open, more honest. Just talk to God about our problem. I finally asked God to forgive me for my stubbornness of wanting to do it my own way, and he does, and that's wonderful. Well, there's one more statement from Willard, and that's probably the hardest. When we focus on having a growing relationship with Christ, it means to abandon outcomes. Now, Dr. Willard was actually a great Christian man, a wonderful thinker, but he was also one of the leading psychologists and philosophers of his day, the last generation. So he speaks in fancy words. I don't usually use outcome, but I do say, God, I want results, and I want my results. Willard's point is, let go of those. We do our part. Results, outcomes, that's God's part. And we need to believe his power to do it. Now, I really discovered something about this. At the time that I was called into ministry, my parents were not Christian. I was an only child. They had great expectations and plans for me, which meant I was to be a professional that earned a lot of money, because if you earned a lot of money, then you were successful in life. I want to tell you, ministry wasn't even on their list. So I was afraid to tell them. I really kind of waffled around for a while. And finally, I told my dad. And fortunately, I got the cold treatment and not the hot treatment. It was not happy at all. So I braced myself to tell my mother. My mother, who, because her marriage had failed and life hadn't gone well, had not laid any pressure on me at all, but said, "Your success in life means my life was successful." That's no pressure. So, Mom, I've been called into the ministry. And then I braced myself. And she stared at me with her mouth open. She had a funny look on her face. And finally she blurted out, "I knew my mother's prayers would get you." What on earth? How did Grandma get into this? I mean, after all, she died before I could remember. I was 2 years old, you know, and I didn't know much about her. All I knew is that my mom said she was an absolute saint, and my dad said she was a crazy holy roller. So with that idea of my grandmother, what did it mean that her prayers got me? Well, Mom went on to explain. Every time they visited her, she would grab me, get into her rocking chair, rock furiously, and pray fervently, "God save him and call him into your ministry. God save him and call him into your ministry." And she said, it worked. Now, I want you to know that Grandma had no reason in this natural world to believe that would happen. Let's put it nicely, that my parents were party people. In fact, the best picture I have of a mom from this era is her dancing on a tabletop with a lampshade on her head holding a bottle of whiskey. So that is going to get me into the ministry. Sure, sure. Now, there are some cynics among us who would say, well, it just happened to be a series of coincidences that I ended up being faced with the gospel of Jesus Christ and was drawn to him in faith. And then there was a crazy happenstance that just sort of happened that I was actually called into the ministry. And then what's even sillier, and certainly was a great coincidence, that after God finally calmed my mother down and years later, I was able to share scriptures with her and watch her come to faith in Christ. Coincidences? You can say that, but I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Friends, I am discovering, and I changed that. The original note said, I have discovered. But I am discovering there are no expiration dates on our prayers. God answers in his time and his way. And I could save a lot of anguish and despair if I could just leave the outcomes, the results to him. We have our part to do. Do it. You share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. Can you bring them to Christ? No. The Holy Spirit has to get hold of that word, get hold of their heart, and draw them to himself. So your part is done. And we could really be relaxed a little more if we left the rest up to him. Well, friends, as we start this new year, I want to challenge us to join God as a co-worker, as a partner, so he can grow us as a person and use us to touch others for him.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. You are the faithful God. And Lord, we're tired this morning. We're worn out after the holidays. But I sincerely pray that the Holy Spirit will touch some hearts this morning, ignite in their hearts an excitement about what it means to partner with God. Help them to see the joy there is in being part of God's plan and not just skipping along. Lord, use us for your glory, that Jesus may be seen.